Peacekeeper troops, said Doug. Everyone in the office looked startled at the thought.
You don't think they'd really go that far, do you? Anson asked, looking worried for the first time.
Doug picked up his laser pointer and aimed its red spot at one of the icons lining the top of the wall screen on his left. The wall became a schematic display of the Earth-Moon system, with clouds of satellites orbiting the Earth. A dozen navigational satellites clung to low orbits around the moon, and the big crude station at the L1 position still showed as a single green dot.
No traffic, Doug said.
This morning's LTVs stopped at L1. Nothing at all moving between Leo and here.
Not yet, muttered Brudnoy.
They wouldn't invade us, Joanna said firmly.
That little Quebecer hasn't got the guts.
Brudnoy ran a bony finger across his short gray beard. No matter how carefully he trimmed it, the beard somehow looked shaggy all the time.
That little Quebecer, he reminded his wife, has fought his way to the top of the United Nations, and now he's gotten the UN to declare us in violation of the Nanotech Treaty.
Joanna frowned impatiently. We've been violating that treaty since it was written.
But now your little Quebecer has obtained the authority to send peacekeeper troops here to enforce the treaty on us, Brudnoy continued.
You really think it'll come to that?
Anson asked again, edging forward slightly in her chair.
Sooner or later, Doug said.
They know we can't stop using nanomachines, Joanna said bitterly. They know they'll be destroying Moonbase if they prevent us from using them.
That's what they're going to do, though, said Brudnoy, growing more gloomy with each word.
Then we'll have to resist them, Doug said.
Fight the peacekeepers.
Anson seemed startled at the thought.
But
I didn't say fight, Doug corrected. I said resist.
How?
I've been studying the legal situation, Doug said.
We could declare our independence.
His mother looked more irked than puzzled.
What good would that do?
As an independent nation, we wouldn't sign the Nanotech Treaty, so it wouldn't apply to us.
Brudnoy raised his brows.
But would the UN recognize us as an independent nation? Would they admit us to membership?
Foray would never allow it, Joanna said.
The little Quebecer's got the whole UN wrapped around his manicured finger.
How would the corporation react if we declared independence?
Ginny Anson asked.
Kiribati couldn't do anything about it, said Doug.
Brudnoy sighed painfully.
If they hadn't knuckled under to Foray and signed the treaty...
They didn't have much choice, really, said Doug. Looking straight at his mother, he went on.
But what about Masterson? How's your board going to react to our independence?
I'll handle the board of directors, Joanna replied flatly.
And Rashid?
She smiled slightly. He'll go up in a cloud of purple smoke. But don't worry. Even though he's the board chairman now, I can keep him in his place.
Independence, Anson murmured. Doug said, we're pretty much self-sufficient as far as energy and food are concerned.
How long is pretty much? Joanna asked.
We can go for months without importing anything from Earth, I betcha,
Anson replied.
Really?
Doug asked.
She shrugged. Condiments might be a problem. Ketchup, seasonings, salt.
We can manufacture salt with nanomachines, Doug said.
Ought to be simple enough.
Where can you get the sodium and chlorine? Anson retorted.
Not out of the regolith.
Doug smiled a little.
Out of the reprocessors. Recycle the garbage.
Anson made a sour face.
Could we really get along for months without importing anything from Earth? Joanna asked.
Maybe a year, Anson said, if you don't mind eating your soy burgers without mustard.
Brudnoy flexed his gnarled fingers.
Aren't you glad that I insisted on planting onions and garlic along with my flowers?
Do you have any jalapeno peppers out at the farm?
Anson asked.
Brudnoy shook his head.
A year, Joanna mused. This ought to be settled long before that.
One way or another, said Brudnoy morosely.
Pharmaceuticals might be a problem, Doug said, turning to the wall screen on his right. With the laser, he changed the display from a camera view of the empty rocket launching pads to an inventory of the base's pharmaceutical supplies. We've been bringing them up on a monthly schedule. Got a... He studied the display screen briefly. 3 months' supply on hand.
Maybe we can use nanomachines instead, Joanna suggested.
It was an open secret that her youthful appearance was due to nanotherapy that tightened sagging muscles and kept her skin tone smooth.
I can talk to Cardenas about that, Anson replied.
And Professor Zimmerman, Doug said.
You talk to Zimmerman, she snapped.
He always tries to bully me. Brudnoy volunteered, I'll see Zimmerman.
You?
With a guilty smile, the Russian said, He and I have been working on a little project together, using nanomachines to make beer.
Lev?
Joanna glared at her husband. Brudnoy raised a placating hand. Don't worry. So far we've accomplished less than nothing. The stuff is so bad that not even Zimmerman will drink it.
Doug chuckled at his stepfather's self-deprecating manner. Then he said, Okay.
Our first move is to declare independence, and
how can we let anyone on Earth know we're applying for UN membership if all the communications links are cut off? Joanna asked.
We can talk to Earth, Anson assured her.
Radio, TV, even laser beams if we need them.
We don't need commsats. Just squirt our messages straight to the ground antennas.
The question is, said Brudnoy, will anyone on Earth respond to us?
They will, Doug said, once they learn what we're doing. And there's always the news media.
Ugh, said Joanna.
Don't knock them, Doug insisted. They might turn out to be our best ally in this.
Our only ally, said Brudnoy.
Okay, so we declare independence, Anson cut in. Then what?
If Foray refuses to recognize us, we appeal to the world court, said Doug. Joanna agreed.
Tie him up legally and wait for world opinion to come over to our side.
Lots of luck, Brudnoy mumbled.
Do you think it'll work? Anson wondered. It's got to, said Joanna.
Ginny, said Doug, pointing a finger in her direction. I want you to take over as base director.
Me? Why? I haven't been behind that desk in almost 8 years.
Grinning at her, Doug said, You know more about what's going on in these tunnels than I do. Don't try to deny it.
But I've got the university to run, she protested.
And what are you going to be doing?
The university's going to be in hibernation as long as Earthside isn't allowed to communicate with us. Your students won't be able to talk to you.
But you...
I've been studying military history ever since Foray was elected Secretary General, Doug said. One thing I've learned is that we're going to need somebody to give his undivided attention to this crisis. I can't be running the day-to-day operation of Moonbase and handle the war at the same time.
You said it's not a war, Joanna said sharply.
Not a shooting war, Doug admitted.
Not yet.
But we've got to be prepared for that possibility.
You can't...
He's right, Brudnoy said, interrupting his wife. Doug should devote his full attention to this situation.
And I'm going to be base director again, Anson said.
She did not seem displeased with the idea.
So you will be our generalissimo, said Brudnoy, pointing at Doug. Ginny becomes base director once again, and you, dear wife, he turned to face Joanna, must serve as our foreign secretary in charge of diplomatic relations with Masterson and the other corporations.
And what will you be doing, love?
Joanna asked her husband.
Me?
Brudnoy's shaggy brows climbed halfway to his scalp.
I will remain as usual, nothing but a peasant.
Yeah, sure,
Anson chirped.
Brudnoy shrugged. I have no delusions of grandeur, but I think it will be important to keep the major corporations on our side.
I'll handle relations with Masterson Corporation, Joanna agreed. We'll try to put some pressure on the government in Washington to oppose this UN takeover.
If you can keep the board on our side, Doug said. His mother raised an imperious brow.
I told you, don't worry about the board.
Or Rashid?
Or Rashid either, Joanna riposted.
Turning slightly toward her husband, she added,
Rashid's a man with real delusions of grandeur.
Okay, said Jenny Anson.